every single believer was filled with the Holy Spirit so that their speech would not only be a reversal of unclean lips, but would be the very vessel of the power of God to change lives.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. I'm Daniel Britt, and we're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a series called Just Say It. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now for your gift to Sharing the Light this month. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org. or by phone at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here now is Alan Wright.
The Pharisees put such an emphasis on ceremonial foods, the ones that could be eaten, the ones that couldn't be eaten. So pretty famous that the Jewish law said you couldn't eat pig meat. So no pork barbecue. But there's a whole list of unclean animals. And the Pharisees were just meticulous about this. So a gnat was an unclean animal. And that's why they strained their wine to make sure they didn't accidentally swallow a gnat. And you might remember Jesus said to them, you hypocrites, you strain the gnats, but you swallow a camel. You're so worried about accidentally eating an unclean animal because you think that's what's making you pure, but the things that you're saying with your mouth and the way that you're teaching people, in one instance, he said, you find a convert and then make him twice the son of hell that you are. It's not what goes in the mouth, it's what's come out. And if you've ever had that feeling of something's come out of your mouth and you wish I could take that and bring it back in like it never happened, you know how a little spark of a word can start a forest fire of ill will and destruction. And relationships can just be so damaged, right? Well, there's something deep and profound about this that Isaiah instantly knows my impurity is linked to speech. You might expect him to say, I'm a man of unclean heart or unfit behaviors. But no, it's unclean lips. And we don't know what exactly Isaiah is talking about, but I could suggest to you a lot because the scripture is so full of all of this talk about the importance of our speech and especially warnings about the wrong kind of speech. Let me mention a couple that a few that for sure could be included in what we're talking about of the impurity of speech. In the first place, from the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. It's a form of lying. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. So false witness in a society that depends so much on the accurate witness of others, no video camera, no DNA evidence, none of that. So it's a horrible thing to bear a false witness of an accusation against someone and can ruin their life. It's so important God included in the Ten Commandments. Another thing that God really hates is gossip. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip. So much of this has to do with speech. You know, in the South, we just assume that the rule of thumb is, as long as you say, bless his heart, then you could say anything you want to after that. You know, have you heard about Joe, bless his heart? He's had another divorce. Gossip is spreading needless negative talk. Needless negative talk. And here's something that's really important to God. I mean, just the speech be positive and not negative. faith speech is what he loves. Hebrews chapter 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another. That means encourage. That means speak words of encouragement to one another as long as it's called today. So he is saying, speak encouragement and not do the opposite, which is rooted in an unbelieving heart. What this is to say is that God has designed our mouths to speak from a posture of faith. And when we speak a negative and pessimistic word that is out of accord with God's word, it's rooted, essentially, he's saying, in unbelief. So all of this is built into this. And then, most importantly, the part of speech, I think, that we need to be aware of is that God wants us to speak blessing, not curse. From the same mouth, James 3:10 says, come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Listen, cursing is not the same thing as using profanity, cussing. I read about a minister that borrowed his neighbor's lawnmower, and the little boy brought it over to him, and the minister's trying to start it, and the thing wouldn't start. And the boy looked at him and said, it starts better if you cuss. And the minister said, cuss? I said, I'm a minister. I hadn't cussed in so long. I don't even remember how to cuss. And the little boy said, you keep pulling on that string, it'll come back to you. When the Bible talks about cursing, it's not talking about, oh, I'm mad, I'm using a cuss word. That may not be clean speech. So there's something actually much worse than that. And it really is to speak the opposite of blessing, and that is a negative forecast that assigns an identity. And God invites our speech to be blessing, which is a positive future envisioned in faith, spoken out of authority in accord with God's word. So let me just give you some examples of this, and we'll be practical about this. Like, if the parent is trying to teach the child about not touching a hot stove, a language of curse says, don't touch the hot stove. Bad boy. But what a blessing is you convey the danger, but you could say it like this. Your hands are precious. Keep them away from the hot stove so they won't be hurt. Or maybe this actually happened one time. I remember when our kids were growing up, one of their first sleepovers, and it was something we thought, you know, they would enjoy, and yet got a call from one of them. I can't remember which child it was. Well, a curse would be, no, I'm not going to come and pick you up from the sleepover. You said you wanted to spend the night at your friend's house, and it's late, and I'm tired, and if you're going to get homesick, you should have thought about that ahead of time. Don't be such a baby. Well, that's a curse. It's an assignment of a label and a negative forecast. But you could put it in blessing like this. If you'd like me to come get you, of course I will. But I think you'll have a good time if you stay. You might be feeling a little homesick right now, but I think the feeling will pass. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Maybe a parent's wanting a child to work harder at school. The curse statement says you better study harder or you'll fail your exams and you'll wind up just like your cousin, the dropout. But what a blessing works is to say, God gave you a good brain. I know you can do well in the exam, so study hard. Maybe a spouse is frustrated and might speak something like this. Ugh, can't you hurry up? You're always late. Well, that's really a form of curse, isn't it? You're always late. Just assigned who you are. But the way blessing would work is, you know, you can be honest. It frustrates me to be late. You're good at anything you set your mind to. So I'm confident you can be punctual. Everything, even when you're most frustrated, you can speak blessing rather than curse. Here's one more example. I'm just trying to give some practical examples. Maybe a spouse says, what you said about me at dinner with our friends was so rude. Why do you have to be so mean? But a blessing would say, what you said at dinner last night hurt my feelings. You're expressing your feeling. But say something like, that's not like you. You're not a mean person.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, You don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Isaiah has this revelation in which he sees that his sin is inextricably linked with what's coming out of his mouth. So it symbolically has to do with his speech. And so immediately, one of the seraphim flew to me, he said, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt's taken away, and your sins atoned for. So this searing coal touched the lips, one of the most sensitive parts of the human body, and he's cleansed. It's a picture of the glorious grace of God. For everything that happens good in our life of sanctification has to do with God going first and God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. He will let you see his glory that you might see your sin and you might know your need for him, but you can't do one thing to clean up your own situation. And so this angelic being takes this burning coal. It's all in a vision that he has while he's in some sort of visionary state, and he sees that it comes and he feels the searing heat upon his lips in this vision, and he hears the voice that assures him that it's all atoned for and your guilt's all taken away from you. And here's the good news of the gospel. When you see your sin and you recognize, even if you recognize today that God's speaking to you about you're a person of unclean lips, you dwell amongst a people of unclean lips, what happens when you trust in Christ is that now, not from some altar where animals are sacrificed, not some place where burnt offerings are made and you bring a coal from the altar at the temple, but Jesus himself made the sacrifice. And the blood that was shed by Jesus, the cross of Jesus Christ, this, not a burning coal, but the cross is applied to your life. And it's as though you died with Christ and all of your sin is atoned for and all of your guilt is taken away so that you are purified through Christ. This is 740 years before Jesus, and God in the call of Isaiah is painting a picture of the gospel. And what happens is that in the midst of having his sin atoned for and being cleansed in this symbolic gesture, he hears the call of God. These two things began to happen when his speech, like his life, was purified. He heard what God was saying. God speaks and says, whom shall we send? And everything within him couldn't wait to be the one who was sent. Isn't that just beautiful? The more that you know that you've been cleansed by the work of Jesus, the more that you will have your ear tuned to the Holy Spirit, and the more that you will want to do everything that he calls you to do. That's the way it works. Clean and holy and set apart. He says, here am I, send me. So the call of your life is intricately related to your speech and to God purifying what you do with your mouth. And you think, well, I can't control my mouth. And God says, I know that. You know when he prefigured this in the call of Moses? And Moses just said to the Lord in Exodus 4, Lord, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you've spoken to me. I'm slow of speech and of tongue. And the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, listen to this, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to speak. I will be with your mouth. I think if you would just ask the Lord today and just say, will you be with my mouth just as you were with Moses? He would smile and say, absolutely. Jesus made a similar promise in Mark chapter 13 to the disciples. When they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. What I want to just say is that here is the amazing extent to which God wants to transform our speech. It's not just that he wants to help us tame our tongue a little bit so that we don't say as many ugly things. It's not just that he will want to enable us to have a little bit more constructive speech. God's got something bigger in mind, and I think it's all seen here in the call of Isaiah. What he really, in the end, wants for every single one of us is that every single Christian not only can have their mouth yielded to the Lord so that you're not speaking in ways that are destructive, but he wants to fill your mouth. I will be with your mouth. He wants every single Christian to be a vessel of the power of his blessing to this world, of your words being so aligned with his own word that you are an expression of the power of God for building up life. Here's what happened at Pentecost. See if you see some similarities in Isaiah's call. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. So there is like a shaking, powerful wind that's blowing. Think of Isaiah and the temple that's shaking. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. Now it's not a burning fire at an altar, but now the fire is symbolically resting on every believer. And look what happens. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled, not just a few of them, not just a select group of them, but the Holy Spirit came upon every single believer. Every single believer in Jesus Christ receives the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah's day, there were unique prophets upon whom the Holy Spirit would come so that they could prophesy. But something different is happening at Pentecost. And it says that they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So what had happened at Pentecost, Jesus had come in the person of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon every one of them. And what did they begin to do without even realizing? God had come near to their mouths. God had begun moving through their speech. It was a renewal and a restoration of what Adam had lost. It was like the call of Isaiah, but now it's not for a unique prophet. It's for every single believer that was assembled there at Pentecost. And what they were doing is they were speaking the word of God. And Peter gets up and says at verse 15, these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I'll pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Every single believer was filled with the Holy Spirit so that their speech would not only be a reversal of unclean lips, but would be the very vessel of the power of God to change lives. We had our staff together this week, and some of our staff. And we went around the room, kind of a half of a retreat day, and Everybody said, let's go around, let's share how things, what's going on in your life. And when it came to me, I opened up and I shared some exhaustion. I shared some, you know, in the spirit, things are good, but, you know, I'm tired. And I just kind of shared a little bit of some stresses in my own life. And Pastor Chris said, well, why don't we stop and pray? And so one of the staff started praying, and then one of our pastors came over and fell down on his knees and put his hands on my feet. And as I think is described in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit sometimes speaks in groanings too deep for words. And he began to weep and pray over me. And he said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And then he said, God has given you, Alan, a tongue that has been taught. And he spoke the words of Isaiah 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. And he wept, and he prayed, and he prophesied, and he spoke the word of God. And something released and broke open in the spirit. And awakened joy and peace where there had been weariness. I'm saying, every Christian may express our speech differently, and some may have unique gifts, and some may be eloquent in the things of the word. But in every sphere of influence in your life, every sphere, I want you to know, the hot coal has touched your lips and your sin is gone. And as you yield your mouth to the Holy Spirit, the very power of God and his word can be released through you and change somebody's life. I'm just saying. Life and death's in the power of the tongue. Speak life, and that's the gospel.
Alan Wright. Today's teaching, Mouthwash, the Power of Purified Speech, in our series, Just Sayin'. Pastor Alan is back with us here in the studio in just a few moments, sharing a parting good news thought for the day. You'll want to hear it.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Alan's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. Back here with me in the studio, Pastor Alan Wright, and our parting good news thought for the day, and the power of purified speech. If for the person who thinks this sounds like that's a lot of work, is that even possible?
Well, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit does this in you. Man, it's also a skill that can be learned, Daniel. Mm-hmm. I think so many of us, A, we're not aware how powerful our words are, and B, just how subtle the little curses are that come out of our mouths. And I think just drawing attention to it and learning the difference, so you can learn. It's a skill you can learn. So yeah. It's two things. It's one, the Holy Spirit does this in you. And secondly,
thankfully, it's a skill that you can get better at. All of us can. Parents and friends and coaches and teachers and coworkers. We can all learn to speak words of life.
This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.